All right, I see the children saw the message, so good. Also, I'm supposed to announce that the ice cream is ready. I'm not sure that's really smart to do before the sermon, but ice cream brings me joy. What brings you joy?
Ice cream.
Ice cream, all right. What brings you joy? Lord and Savior, all right. She's looking down. What brings you joy?
Retirement.
How about grandchildren? All right.
Camper.
All right. So it's Church Picnic Sunday. It's a day of celebration. It's a day of joy. We're going to talk about joy this morning. We're going to start in the Old Testament, work our way to the New Testament. Ooh, yes, that does not bring me joy. So in the Old Testament, joy and rejoicing are used very similarly. If you are rejoicing, you have joy. If you have joy, then you must be rejoicing. So the idea of joy in the Old Testament, it's not just an emotion, but it's an expression. So if you have it, you need to express it. So if you have joy, you need to express it. Psalm 16:9. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices, my flesh also dwells secure. Or in Psalm 32, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. And so if you have joy, you need to express it. So how many of you shout and cheer for your favorite sports team? All right, okay. Well, hold on to that thought, all right? So for most of us, I'm a Pirate fan, so this does not include me, but for most of us, we have joy when we watch our team, all right? We can't help it. We express it. We shout, we scream, we clap. And so I want you to do that this morning. I want you to shout for joy, not for your team, but for God. All right, so think about what you're going to do. How are you going to shout? How are you going to express this joy? This is audience participation, all right? So on the count of three, one, two, three, woo! All right, okay. Not bad. So likewise, in the Old Testament, joy cannot be bottled up. It just burst forth. And joy is so important in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew. Okay, for you Hebrew scholars out there, there's 13 Hebrew roots for joy, and there's 27 separate words for joy. 27 separate words for joy just in the Old Testament. And so the Hebrew authors would just pile up the different words for joy. Now, an example of this is in Zephaniah chapter 3. So let me read this. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Now, in the Hebrew, in these two verses, there are eight different words used for joy. All right? So, sing aloud in the Hebrew is joy. Shout, joy, rejoice, joy, exult, joy, rejoice, joy, gladness, joy, exult, joy, loud singing, joy. So let me read this again. Sing aloud, joy, O daughter of Zion. Shout, joy, O Israel. Rejoice, joy, and exult, joy, with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice, joy, over you with gladness, joy. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt joy over you with loud singing. Joy. The joy is overflowing. It cannot be contained. And the reason it cannot be contained is the verse, the Lord your God is in your midst. God is there. God is in the house. And when God shows up in the Old Testament, the people of God cannot but burst forth into joy. It cannot be contained. In the Old Testament, it's a serious party. Joy is a gift from God. In Ecclesiastes, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in the man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end, I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. The Old Testament is a book that is full of joy. And this joy is God's gift to bless his people, especially when he is in their midst. So how much more should joy be a part of our lives now that Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ, has come? The New Testament is also full of joy. And this party, if you will, starts at Jesus' birth. In Luke, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." The shepherds ran to see Jesus. And they came away rejoicing. Wise men came and gave gifts. And we still celebrate Jesus' birth to this day. So if I say Merry Christmas, is there any joy in that? Doesn't sound like it. Merry Christmas! There should be some joy. We do sing Joy to the World, right? The Lord has come. And it's not just his coming. There was joy throughout Jesus' ministry. In Luke, when Jesus sent out the 70, they came back rejoicing. Zacchaeus rejoiced when Jesus called him down from the tree and he went home with him. And the crowds all around Jesus rejoiced at the things that Jesus did. Now, this joy is not of this world. The Holy Spirit is the source of this joy. Romans 14, 17, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Galatians, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness." 1 Thessalonians, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith, labor of love, and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit." They received the word in much affliction with joy. In the New Testament, it is this joy while suffering that differentiates the New Testament joy from the Old Testament joy. Because we can rejoice even in the midst of sorrow, even in the midst of sorrowing and suffering. Luke 6:22, blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice. Have joy in that day. Leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. 1 Peter, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice. In this you have joy. Though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We can have joy in the midst of suffering, in the midst of grieving, in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of pain. This is one of our great possessions for us as believers. We can rejoice because we have a living hope. Hebrews 10, but recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. We are to look to Jesus, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. You see, we have a reward to come. We can be sorrowful now, yet always rejoicing. And Paul tells us that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We can be sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. This is the great paradox of being a Christian. We have human grief, and yet it can be turned into and overcome by joy in the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, in all our affliction, I am overflowing with joy. So it follows then that in spite of circumstances, joy should be a prominent characteristic of believers and of his church. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. We have so much to be joyful about. That we have received the word and have believed in Christ. What joy! We should have joy when Christ is proclaimed here and around the world through our global partners. We should have joy. We should rejoice as we and other believers mature in the faith. We should rejoice when there is godly obedience, when there's repentance, when faith is exhibited in the body of Christ, when there's unity and harmony within this body of Christ, there should be joy. We should rejoice in our Christian friends and among believers. One person's joy should be another's joy as well. There should be joy upon joy. We should rejoice because Christ is coming soon, and a party awaits. The marriage of Christ and his bride. I was at a wedding the other week. Is Josiah here in the house? There he is. I told you I'm going to pick on you every sermon I do, all right? So, Josiah, you were at a wedding, right? A few weeks ago? The answer will be yes. All right. Were you happy?
Yes,
very good. Here's the more important question. Haley, were you happy? Yes, all right. There was joy at the wedding, and it was expressed. Remember the Old Testament? When there's joy, you have to express it. So there was laughter. There was fellowship. There was singing. And after I left, there was dancing. But there's a wedding to come, and it's going to make our present-day wedding seem small. It will be the biggest party ever. And so of all people, we should be a joyful people. So how can we experience joy in our life? Now, if you're like me, you're running a little empty in the area of joy. It's been a tough year. And I know it's been a tough year for some of you. And so through sorrow, through pain, through things that are happening in our life, how can we move toward joy? Well, number one, joy is a gift of God. One of the words used for joy is closely related to the word grace. Joy comes when we are aware of God's grace toward us, when we remember His grace toward us. So one way to experience joy is to focus on God. God, as we're going through troubles and the concerns of life, when we look up, He gives grace. He gives joy in the midst of whatever is going on in our life. We don't deny what is going on. We do not deny what's happening in our life. But we focus on the one who can bring change, whether it's changing the situation or changing us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His way to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. That should bring us joy. Because He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it's gone. And its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, all you His angels, you mighty ones who do His word, obeying the voice of the Lord. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, His ministers who do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, all my soul. We need to look up and to look at God, who is the source of our joy. Because we have so much to be thankful for, so much to bless God for. And so we need to remember, Remember God's faithfulness to us in the past, his faithfulness to us in the present, and we can look forward to his faithfulness in the future, joining him at the great wedding feast. So remembering and looking ahead should bring us great joy, because joy is a gift of God, and God loves to give his children wonderful gifts. 2, joy comes when we abide and obey Jesus. Jesus gave us instructions regarding joy. In John chapter 15, Jesus tells us, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Do you want joy? Remain in Jesus' love and keep his commands. Obedience brings blessings. And those blessings include joy. So as we spend time with Jesus and his word, and as we obey his word, we can find joy. We can find joy as we pray, as we abide with Christ. Joy comes when we abide and we obey. 3, joy comes within Christian community. When we're in community, we do not have to travel the road of life alone. We don't have to carry our burdens alone. There is so much we are to do for one another that will lead to joy. Some of the one another's we're called to do. We're called to be devoted to one another, to be in harmony with one another, to accept one another, to teach one another, to agree with one another, to serve one another, to be kind to one another, to be gentle with one another, to be patient with one another, to have compassion on one another, to forgive one another, to encourage one another, to have fellowship with one another, to love one another. Do you think that if we practice these here at CNBC, we'd have some joy? Oh, come on, people. If we practice these here at CNBC, do you think we could have some joy here? Yes. All right. Joy is meant to be a hallmark of the Christian life. It's a fruit of the Spirit, a gift of God. And we best receive this gift when we focus on the truth of who God is, when we commune with him through his word and prayer, and we rely on the community of believers he has provided. So today is a day of joy and celebration, and I want us to watch a video that talks about the art of celebration, the art of joy. So can we run that video?
I remember a few years ago sitting watching the sunrise. It was a typical misty Irish morning, and there was a magical stillness in the air. Something happened that day that I didn't see coming. You see, I've grown up in church. I've been surrounded by the fact that Jesus loves me since I was born. But that day, something new flooded my soul. My eyes were opened. And I was totally overwhelmed by the reality of God. That I was not alone, lost in life. That I was not condemned, but that I was free. And I don't know what happened, but this uncontrollable urge took over me. I jumped to my feet and started sprinting through the fields like a wild man, laughing and crying with pure joy. That was my first taste of the art of celebration.
Hey!
Since that day, I've learned that life has a way of draining that childlike wonder from us. Whether it's through our own failures or disappointments, whether it's suffering or betrayal, or even just familiarity, that's why we put up our defenses, isn't it? That's why we become numb. We pull back from life and become spectators because we're afraid of being hurt again. But the good news is, Jesus is always doing a new thing. He's not finished with us yet. We may doubt, we may feel like we are broken beyond repair, but He is the peace in our troubled sea. He is the healer of the brokenhearted. Recently, we made a theological breakthrough as a community, and it has changed everything about our approach. We realized that seriousness is not a fruit of the Spirit, but joy is. You see, there's an irrepressible laughter in the heart of God, and the whole universe cannot contain it. He is the one who invented celebrations and feasting and holidays. He is the one who sings and dances over us. When He suffered the cross, He did it for the joy set before Him. And that joy was knowing that you and I would be fully free, no longer captive to our sin. Yes, the whole human story is described in terms of a celebration, the marriage of Christ to His bride, the church. Our God is the ultimate artist of celebration, the inventor of the party, and the healer of the broken. Now, happiness is not the same thing as joy. Happiness is an emotion, a superficial response to pleasant circumstances, but joy is deeper. It's a spiritual discipline. We as people are much more inclined towards negativity and cynicism. We don't find it easy or even natural to pursue joy, and that's why God in His Word actually commands us to celebrate. We must wrestle for our blessing. We must fight for our joy. How do we then remind ourselves as a wounded church family that we still have a reason to sing? How do we move from the edges and fringes of the party into the center? Well, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And to do that, we have to once again open up our hearts to wonder and beauty. I'm not saying to be fake or put on a false smile, but rather to always find a reason to rejoice, even if we are in the darkest circumstances. We come with a gospel worth celebrating before a celebrating King. And we think our response as worshippers should be obvious. We need to get down to the serious business of joy because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And after all, heaven's going to be the greatest party of all time, and we need to start practicing now. So don't get caught up in your guilt or failure. You are forgiven, you are free, and you're worth more to God than you could ever imagine. So come on. With a childlike heart, wide-eyed with wonder, let's rediscover the art of celebration.
Worship team, would you come on up? I love when he says we have to fight for our joy. And we're going to do that this morning. We're going to fight for some joy. And we're going to do that through singing. And I want you to sing louder than when I asked you to cheer earlier, okay? All right? Jude is a hard book. Jude's a very short book. It's a hard book. It's a painful book. It can be a sad book, but it concludes with this benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Amen. Amen. I hope that you practice joy today and in the coming years.